For a short while tonight, we're going to consider the subject that comes from Acts, the 3rd chapter, verses 12 through 26, about the second gospel sermon that the Apostle Peter preached. To understand Peter's second sermon, we have to study the healing of the lame man. We have to understand this miracle. And then we're able to understand the second gospel sermon that Peter preached. And the sermon was the call to repentance and to believe in Jesus Christ. Paul did an excellent job this morning teaching about this healing of the lame man. And I'm just going to hit it in passing just to kind of set the lesson up, because it is important that we, because it all ties together. This second sermon came from the healing of the lame man. Of course, as Paul spoke this morning, it opened the chapter in verse 1 with Peter and John going into the temple. And he met the lame man that had been lame since birth. He was born crippled. He had never been able to walk. He was carried into the temple. And when Jesus saw the man in the name of Jesus, he commanded him to rise up and walk. And as he took the man by the right hand and lifted him up, the man is instantly and completely healed. And walking, leaping, jumping, and praising God in a very loud voice, they walked into the temple to the wonder and amazement of the crowd. And on Solomon's porch, Peter began to speak. And he explained that the healing occurred in the name of Jesus because God had glorified Christ as the Holy One, as the Just, as the Prince of Life, and you Jews, he said, denied and killed him. It said from the day of Moses they had been warned and told and prophesied and foretold of the Messiah, and that if they would heed Jesus, they could be saved, and if they denied him, that they would be destroyed. He goes on to speak about the pact, the covenant that God made with Abraham, that he would bless all of the families of Israel through the seed, and that he would send Jesus to them, or send one to them as a Messiah that would take away their iniquities. This second gospel lesson tonight that we're going to study about proves that God fulfilled his promise of the Messiah, and that the Messiah was Jesus. Let's go to Heavenly Father. I'm going to read this entire chapter and then I'm going to make some comments on it, because Peter was pretty plain in the things that he said, and his explanations were pretty clear, and there's not a lot of clarification that I can do to this second sermon that the Apostle Peter spoke. But to understand the second sermon, you've got to understand the miracle of the lame man, because this is what brought this whole thing about. This was the catalyst that allowed him to give this second sermon. And it's a very interesting subject that he's speaking about. So as we read the first 11 verses of Acts, it says that Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of those that entered the temple. When seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. And fixing eyes upon him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something to them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now as a lame man who was healed, helped on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. As we begin this 3rd chapter, in verse 1, we find Peter and John going into the temple about 3 o'clock in the afternoon for their prayer service. And as Paul explained to us this morning, at 9, at 12, and at 3 was the 3 prayers of the Jewish people. The lame man lay at the temple of the gate called Beautiful for some probably 20 years, because as Paul explained, the man was 40 years old, and the man was born from birth with this something wrong with his legs, his ankle, his feet, his bones, but he was a cripple from birth. He had never walked. So he was carried to the gate, and at this gate he begged for money that he might sustain his life. And seeing Peter and John, he thought, this is a handout for me. And it says that Peter stared at him. He stared back, their eyes locked. And Peter tells him to listen to me, to look at me and to listen. And the man gave him his attention, expecting a handout. And Peter says, I have no earthly wealth. I have no money. I have no gold. I have no silver. I have nothing of this world to give you. But he said, I do have a spiritual gift that I can give you. And he said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command that you get up, that you rise up, and you walk. And he takes him by the right hand. The man is lifted up. His legs are completely healed. And immediately he begins to jump and run and praise God. And in a very loud voice, he makes himself known. And he makes known the miracle that was performed upon him. Instant healing. And the response of the crowd was one of awe and amazement and unbelievable. Because this was such a conspicuous, obvious miracle that had been performed. And the people knew this man. They knew him as a lame man. They knew him as a man that had been carried up there. They knew him as a man that couldn't walk. They knew he'd been like this for many years. And many of them, I'm sure, knew that he'd been this way since birth. And now to see him jumping and running like a deer, as Isaiah said, and praising God, the people knew that something had happened. Because this was a man who had begged alms at the beautiful gate. And now with wonder and amazement they were filled. And as Peter and John walked with the lame man between them up to Solomon's porch, the people ran to Solomon's porch and Peter began to preach. Acts 3 verses 12 through 16. When Peter saw it, he responded to the people, Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Why do you look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we have made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he determined to let him go. You denied the Holy One and the Just One and asked for a murderer to be granted unto you, and you killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, and of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him the perfect soundness in the presence of you all. This was the perfect situation for the Apostle Peter. He had found the perfect spot on Solomon's porch in front of the temple. He had found the perfect time, because the people had all gathered together to hear what he had to say, and he was able to sedge right into this healing of this man. He was able to sedge right into his lesson, and it was the perfect sermon for the occasion that Peter was able to give. And I'm telling you, the Apostle Peter was a very plain-spoken man anyway, but when he gave this sermon to the people, to these Jews, he was extremely plainly spoken. He did not mince his words in any way. He spoke plainly and he spoke boldly. And the message went right to the heart of these Jews. Peter asked the question to the crowd, why? Why are you so amazed? Why are you marveled at the fact that this man is able to get up and walk? He did why? It was not me that did it. It was not John that did this. This was a miracle that came from God through the Son, His Son, Jesus Christ. It was through their power, and it was in the name of Jesus that we commanded this man to get up and walk. And it was through the power of Jesus that this miracle took place. Peter said, it wasn't John's, and it wasn't my godliness, and it wasn't our goodness, and it wasn't our power that made this man to get up and to walk. We didn't do this miracle. We were simply the conduit that Jesus used, or God used through Jesus and the name of Jesus, that caused this miracle to happen. And he went on to say, God has glorified his Son, his servant, Jesus. And then he speaks to the people, and I'm sure he looks them just as closely in the eye with all the sincerity that he had. And he said, the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob, the God of your fathers, realizing that they were all Jews and of similar genealogy, they all came from the seed of Abraham. Jesus said, this prophecy, God has glorified Jesus through all of these people that are your leaders and your forefathers and your genealogy. He said he glorified Jesus in what he did. And he said, what did you do? You denied him. You didn't believe him. And you delivered him up for a crucifixion. You denied the Messiah that God sent to save you. You denied him and you called for his death. And even more than that, when Jesus was sent to Pilate, and they hated Pilate because this is one of these ugly, evil Romans that was controlling them, he said even Pilate found nothing wrong with Jesus. There was no guilt in him. They was innocent. Even Pilate said, this man has done nothing worthy of death. He said, I'm going to scourge him. I'm going to whip him. I'm going to turn him forth to the Jews, and surely they will accept this because this man has done no evil. And he said, even evil Pilate realized the man had done nothing wrong, but said, you of his genealogy, you of the sons of Abraham, you denied him and you called for his death. The Messiah, the Holy One, the Just One, Peter said, you denied and you called for his murder. And he said, worse than that, just one more step. Before Jesus was placed on a cross that was meant for a murderer and an evil robber such as the man Barabbas, he said, you ask that this dangerous man be released back to you into society, and the Son of God instead took his place upon the cross. The truth was very succinctly and boldly spoken when he talked to these Israelites, these Jews, you murdered God's Son. But God raised him up because he was innocent and because he had done nothing worthy of death. So after 3 days, 3 days in the grave, God raised him up. And he said, then he ascended to heaven. And John and Peter said, I am a witness to the resurrection. John is a witness to the resurrection. The rest of the apostles are witnesses to the resurrection. And all the people in this church and the women and 500 plus people, he said, we are all witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus because God raised him up because he did not deserve to die. And he said, we are witnesses to the resurrection and to the ascension. He said, you killed him. You murdered him. And you let Barabbas be released to you. But he said, it's not over because thankfully, faith, which comes through Jesus and repentance and baptism, now has the power not only to restore the legs of this lame man, but it also has the power to restore you in the safety of God's will for the actions that you committed on that horrible day when you demanded that the Lord be crucified. The gospel plan has now been introduced to humanity. And the purpose of his sermon was the call that they repent and be converted. Concluding the verses 17 through 26, it says, yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as also did your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all of his prophets was that Christ would suffer. He has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the time of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may, one, send Jesus Christ to you, and two, the man that was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the time of restoration of all things which God has spoken to the mouth of all of his holy prophets since the world began. Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things whatsoever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that the prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow, as many have spoken, also have foretold these days. You are the sons of the prophets. You are sons of the covenant which God made with our fathers when he said to Abraham, and in your seed shall all of the families of the earth be blessed. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning every one of you away from your iniquity. There's a lot said in these few verses. And again, Peter was very plain in the words that he said, explaining this situation to these people so that they could understand. These people knew about the prophets, they knew of the old law, and they knew of the promise of the Messiah. They realized now when Peter was explaining this to him and explaining it one word at a time, they realized exactly what they'd done. Peter said it wasn't your fault that what you did in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. He said it was not through the fault of your rulers, because everything that they did in ignorance. And he said if you had been leading and listening and studying your prophets, God foretold by the mouth of his prophets that Christ would come to the earth as the Messiah, that he would suffer, and that he would die. And Jesus himself made these statements also. And Peter said God has fulfilled completely his prophecy. God prophesied the birth and the life and the death of Jesus. God planned the birth and the life and the death of Jesus. And Peter said, you did it ignorantly. You still did it. You're still guilty for it. It's still on your conscience. But he said, you did it ignorantly. And there was nothing that you could have done to prevent this. This was the will of God, that Jesus die for the sins of humanity. And he said, God told you this by his prophets. You knew what was coming. If you'd studied and listened, you would have known what was coming. God said that Christ would suffer. God has been fulfilled in his word. Paul said now the only thing you can do is to repent and to be converted. To be baptized in the likeness of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that your sins may be erased, that your sins may be blotted out, and that that time of refreshing might come from the presence of the Lord, that Christ might enter in, he might become the one you worship, and the refreshing of his presence might be yours, because God will send Jesus to you, as we have preached about him before, and you will be, that he will be your Savior. But it said heaven has him now. And heaven will have Jesus. He has ascended unto heaven. He sits at the right hand of God. And this is where he will be until the time of restorations of all things. Again, he said, God prophesied to the prophets about this since the very world begun. Until the time is satisfied when God calls a halt to everything in this world, Jesus will sit until the time of restoration of all things has happened. Then he will send Jesus back to the world, not as a martyr, but as a judge, to judge those and the way that they live. And then he goes on. He said, even Moses, who they all knew and respected and loved, they all thought of Moses as their prophet and their deliverer. Moses, in the 18th chapter of Deuteronomy, he warned that God would send them a prophet from their brethren, whom they should hear in all things, whatever he says. He said, from your own seed, from your own genealogy, from the seed of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, as a Jew, as an Israelite, Moses said, God will send someone, then if you will hear him and obey him and believe him, you will be saved. But if you don't believe the words of Jesus and the prophet, then you will be utterly destroyed amongst the people. And then he went on further. He said, from the start of time with Samuel, and then all of the other prophets that all prophesied about the coming of Jesus as the Messiah. And he said, you are sons of these prophets. You are of the Jewish bloodline. They were your forefathers. You are sons of the prophets. You are sons of the covenant that God made with your fathers. You are sons and children of the promise and the covenant that God made with Abraham when he said to Abraham, and in your seed all of the families of earth shall be blessed, to the Jew first, and then to the Gentiles. Jesus was sent to the earth as the Messiah. God sent him, and Jesus, as David, as all of these prophets, and as every one of these Jews that stood in the assembly today, he said, you are all the seeds of Abraham. And he said, Jesus was sent into the world to turn you away from your iniquities. So what was the purpose of the second gospel sermon that Paul and Peter spoke? Well, it was exactly the same thing as the first gospel sermon that Peter spoke. Believe in Jesus. Repent of your sins. Be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins. The lesson's the same. The teaching is the same. In conclusion, the call to repent and to be converted in Peter's second sermon is a central theme of the first sermon, and it is also the central theme of the entire book of Acts. Because in the book of Acts, as you read through, you have detailed conversion lessons of how people were converted to the gospel plan of Jesus, to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles, and every one of them will tell you the exact same thing. There are common denominators: belief, repentance, confession, and baptism for the remission of sins. And Peter's call to repentance at this time was very boldly spoken, and it's not an empty lesson. It's the same call that saved them that saves us today. And we must believe in Jesus to experience it, and we must have faith in Him. The call to conversion is a mandatory component of discipleship, and it is also the mission of the church, because the gospel is the power of God for salvation. And that is the exact point that Peter was trying to make as he spoke to these people. And by the thousands, they heard and they believed and they repented and they responded to the gospel call. This man that was lame from birth was healed by Jesus Christ. And he is a visible object. They can see him. He is a prime example of the power of Jesus Christ. And the man standing between him and John was also the perfect reason to deliver this second sermon, because it was a perfect sermon for the time and for the people and everything. And he presented the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world, exactly what they should do to be saved. It's the exact same gospel plan that we follow today. The second sermon was the focus on the power of God and upon Jesus. And the crowd of Jews that were standing to see this man standing next to Peter, knowing that he was a former cripple that lived on handouts, now saw a new man. They saw a man that was healed by the resurrected Savior, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And Peter very plainly emphasized to them that he and John were nothing but conduits to do the will of Christ, and that Christ is the one that healed him. It was a miracle from God. And it was meant to influence their faith for repentance and belief in Jesus. And that is the purpose of the second sermon the Apostle Peter taught. Let's have a song of invitation, and we can help you come forward.